Jason, stop me if you've heard this before. The Bears have got another big game coming up on Sunday. We'll break that down and more coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Hi, I'm Patrick Finley. He's Jason Leisure. Jason, holiday week here, or Christmas week, is also the lead up to a pretty important game for the Bears. They are going to San Francisco and then driving to Santa Clara to play the 49ers. The Bears are either a Bears win or a Packers loss at any point the rest of the season from clinching the NFC North. And if they run the table and if the Seahawks lose, the Bears have the number one seed in the whole NFC tournament. But, you know, this week is not going to be easy, and even week 18 is probably going to be pretty tough for them.
A lot on the line, as you mentioned. I mean, there is kind of this exhale that they've made the playoffs. There was this exhale when they hit 9 wins, so you know they're going to have a winning season. Then another one when they clinch the playoff berth over the weekend. But one of the things I keep thinking about the playoffs, Patrick, that you've been saying for a while is it just seems so wide open.
Yeah.
And if it truly is wide open, if you look around and you don't see an Eagles or Chiefs team of the last few years, that kind of just powerhouse that no one is going to get through, if you don't see that, then what's going to make the difference between you and one of these other fairly equal six teams? Well, a first-round bye would make a big difference automatically, like essentially a first-round win. Mm-hmm. And playing at home, especially if your home field gives you a legitimate advantage the way Seattle does and the way Chicago does. So there's so much on the line for the Bears in the next 2 weeks now that they are thinking bigger about not just the playoffs, but how far could they go in the playoffs.
Yeah, there are going to be two teams from California in the NFC playoffs. There's going to be a team from either Carolina or Florida there. Playing in the cold in Chicago is going to be a gigantic advantage if you can get a home game. And you can't get a home game without winning the division. And so that's step one. I thought it was funny. Kevin Byard tried to use the good, better, best explanation today to explain what's in front of them. And he mangled it, but it was delightful, right? Good was making the was winning the North, right?
Yeah.
Better was getting was getting a home game in the playoffs?
Yeah, and then slightly better
was being the number one seed.
Yeah.
But then best was winning the Super Bowl. That's the path that they have in front of them. You suggested he put out his own line of t-shirts. It says good, better, slightly better,
right.
Best.
Yeah. A competing line of merch.
With the Bears. The odds of the Bears being the 2 seed in the tournament, if they win the NFC North, are pretty good. They can finish no lower than 3. And like we said, division champions are assured at least one home game. If you're the number 2 seed, you're assured 2 home games, and maybe 3 if the number 1 seed falls out at some point.
Yeah, most likely. There's still several different ways this could go for them, but the most likely path seems to be they'll be the 2 seed and they'll host Green Bay. That seems to be most likely.
They could also finish 7th and go to Green Bay or go to Philadelphia.
There's all these other things, but right. Most likely.
Yeah.
At least, what did you find when you were playing around with it? Because you wrote about it this week. When I've messed with it last week and this week, it keeps coming up. Basically, the most likely outcome is home game against Green Bay round 1.
Yes. And is that something, if you were the Bears, that you would want?
Of course.
There's a scenario where they could, if they wanted to lose the last game, and I mean, there's a world where they could be the 3 seed if with a loss in week 18. Would you want to force that to happen to give you a home game against either San Francisco or the Rams?
I wouldn't put it past them to angle for a particular opponent, but I don't think that they would have any reason to want to avoid Green Bay. They've played Green Bay tight both games. They are on equal footing with Green Bay for the first time since I don't even know when.
Right.
They have every reason to want to play Green Bay because they can handle Green Bay. I mean, they could win or lose to anybody out of these playoff teams. I don't see anyone that would destroy them, and I don't see anyone really that they would destroy. And I think there's no problem with facing Green Bay if you're them. For everybody else, for all the audience, if you will, Everyone would want to see that. Everyone would love Bears-Packers first round.
I think before we say that nobody's killed the Bears and the Bears haven't killed anybody, let's see what happens in Santa Clara on Sunday. The 49ers offensively have been really good. They're on a five-game win streak. They haven't punted since November, which is a little bit of misleading because they did have a bye during that period, but they've gone two games in a row without a punt. The Bears just played a game in which they didn't force a punt. I think we could see some really good offensive play by San Francisco and even by the Bears on Sunday.
49ers have the second fewest three and outs. That punt stat is kind of silly because it's only covering two games mm-hmm. that they haven't punted since November. But they are among the best in the league for the season at not punting and not having three and outs.
If the Bears ever go two full games without punting, I mean, we would be writing think pieces about what Torrey Taylor does on the sideline.
It would be amazing, yes. But other teams, it's not like that. Other teams, you know, don't punt all the time.
Ben Johnson's done a really good job of getting everybody up for whatever the task is every week. You know, getting up for the Packers, okay. Like, you or I could get a team up for a rivalry game. Mm-hmm. But, you know, to take care of business against the Browns, to you know, go on the road in Philadelphia, which, again, you can get up for because it's a nationally televised game, but it's a really hard spot to play in. Even getting up for Mason Rudolph and the Steelers are playing well enough for that to end up in a win. I think that's really been one of his strengths. It seems like a pretty big task this week as well.
Well, one of the reasons he's been good at that and good at getting his message across on a lot of fronts, everything from just the way that this team carries itself to specifics about how he wants Caleb Williams to play, specifics about how he wants his coaching staff to operate. It all comes from the standpoint of it's been a long time since they hired a coach who came in with his credentials. Mm-hmm. Even as a first-time head coach, he came in, there was so much respect for what he had done in Detroit where he had autonomy. Where he was running their offense, he is the one who helped build that from the ground up. It's a lot different than Matt Eberflus coming in as kind of this anonymous defensive coordinator from a middling Colts team. Matt Nagy coming in from a really good offense on a really good team, but everybody knowing, well, he's kind of just Andy Reid's assistant. Mm-hmm. He's not really doing it. Ben Johnson has all of these results on his side coming in and has continued to get results while with the Bears. So everything he conveys, every message that he sends, it lands. Because when he wants to get them to take these last two games seriously and to not have this letdown after clinching a playoff berth, who's going to argue with him? Mm-hmm. And like you said, getting up for a home game against the Browns in you know 8-degree weather and things like that, it has worked for Ben Johnson before he got to the Bears. It has worked during his time with the Bears. And that is what really puts some power behind what you're saying to the team.
Well, and I think, too, that the Bears are inexperienced enough of when it comes to the postseason that, you know, how many players do they have that could even take this for granted? Maybe two? Maybe three? Everybody else is new to this. You know, the list of Bears players who have not had a winning record in their careers before this year is extensive. I mean, DJ Moore, Montez Sweat, Andrew Billings, Cole Kmet. There are a lot of guys who just winning is foreign to them, much less winning like this.
Well, none of them have won with the Bears. I don't think there's a guy on the roster who has won with the Bears.
Well, the Bears' last winning season, Jason, was 7 years ago.
I mean, there's so many of these guys, the younger guys, I mean, like even Cole Kmet and Jalen Johnson at least have tasted the glory of going 8-8.
Yeah.
So many of these younger guys have known nothing but just getting crushed for how many years?
Yeah. So I don't think that they're going to take it for granted. Somebody who does have a playoff experience, Jason, is Kevin Byard. He is one of the Bears' three Pro Bowl players, or Pro Bowl games. Should I announce it? Pro Bowl games.
I didn't call him Pro Bowl. It still counts as Pro Bowl for contract incentives and things like that and Hall of Fame, all that.
Sure. The Pro Bowl games, by the way, is a flag football game that's going to be played the Tuesday of Super Bowl week in San Francisco.
At a convention center, I believe.
At a convention center. Sounds like a wonderful experience. They don't play the real football game anymore. They don't play the run out on some field in Orlando and throw a ball through a tire. They don't do that anymore. Now it's just flag football game, I think tied to the Olympics coming up. The other two Bears Pro Bowlers probably aren't going to be very good at flag football, I would think. One is Drew Dahlman, who theoretically can snap the football that starts the flag play. And the other is guard Joe Tooney. It's Dahlman's first Pro Bowl berth, Tooney's fourth, Byard's third. Were you surprised that they got only three, as presumptuous as that sounds?
Well, but you would sit here and you would say, well, Nashawn Wright should be in, and maybe DeAndre Swift should be in. Guys that had Pro Bowl caliber seasons. But then you've got to go find someone on there that you're going to pull off, I think. You can't just say everyone that has a good year in the whole league makes the Pro Bowl. It's selective for a reason. So I don't know. Nashawn Wright is second in the league in interceptions. It's hard to be second in the league in interceptions and not make the Pro Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine that we don't have this information Tuesday afternoon as we're recording this, but I would imagine that he is an alternate, that he's somewhere on the list to get in if somebody withdraws.
Do you know who thinks he should be in? Micah Parsons. He tweeted that today.
That's a good endorsement.
Yeah, it's a pretty good endorsement. I mean, there's Nashawn Wright's got to overcome, and I think it is a little bit of a handicap, Jason, that nobody really knows who he is. This is a vote. The vote is one-third fans, one-third players, one-third coaches. Mm-hmm. And you don't know when they're going to get asked about this. But, you know, it's possible that 3 weeks ago, there are players in the league who have better things to do on Sundays than watch other players who, you know, you wouldn't be surprised if Nashawn Wright was a bit of a surprise to them.
You've seen – should we pull back the curtain on how some of the voting is done? We've seen voting. We've seen it over the years. We've right. seen the voting in the locker room for this – and there's something else.
The NFL Top 100. Yeah.
Yeah. So when you see these things come out and you see the player vote element to it, we've watched this take place. I can't tell you how many guys I've seen, how many players I've seen just blow it off entirely. That's how hard it is to get these guys to do it. Someone comes here with the form and asks them, can I take down your votes?
Yeah.
And they're still like, nah, I got stuff to do.
Yeah.
And then you also see guys not take it seriously. And I'm sure there are some guys who do take it seriously. But there's some guys who are writing, okay, I'm going to write all of the players from my team that play on my offensive line, even the backups,
right.
on something like this, and not vote for anyone on a rival team or any other team for that matter. So the player vote for this, it's not taken as seriously as it should, but to your point about Nashawn Wright not being well known, your name brand recognition carries you quite a bit. Kevin Byard has been in the league a decade. He's made the Pro Bowl before a couple times. Joe Tooney has same resume basically, plus some championship rings. The guys who are known names are going to have an easier time making it than someone who's having an equally good season in Nashawn Wright or Darnell Wright.
Do you know who did a good job voting? Bears fans, Jason.
Jeez,
my
yeah.
God, we had some Chicago-style ballot stuffing going on. The final fan vote was released on Tuesday, Jason.
So this is solely the fan vote. This is solely one-third of the equation.
And here's the list of the Bears players who led their position group. And that's not just NFC position group. It's position group across all of football. You ready for 10 guys? Drew Dahlman, Joe Tooney, Darnell Wright, DeAndre Swift, like you mentioned, linebacker Tremaine Edmonds, who I think has a pretty good argument for the Pro Bowl. Missing.
He's been a takeaway guy.
Yeah. Nashawn Wright, Jaquan Brisker, Kevin Byard, Torrey Taylor at punter, and Devin Duvernay as the return specialist. So that's not even including the people who finished in the top three, top five. I think Caleb was third in quarterback voting among
and
fans.
Tyson Bagent was fourth, my friend.
Good work.
Right behind him.
Good work by the people of Chicago. I think that the Mark Potash corollary is of if you're going to put some guy on, you got to take some guy off. I think Edmonds, Darnell Wright, Nashawn Wright are probably the ones I would look hardest to try to squeeze on the team if I had to make an argument. Is there anybody I'm missing?
That's pretty much it. It would have been interesting to see if Rome Odunze had put himself in the mix there, but again, continues to miss time, and still, you know, he's got to earn his way on there with name recognition too.
Yeah, let's talk about him real quick. Ben Johnson told you today that, and it's the first time Ben said it, that they plan on him being back this year. Didn't say whether it was this week, next week, or the postseason. We can tell you that in the portion of practice open to the media Tuesday, we did not see him or Luther Burden, who has an ankle injury. The Bears don't have to give us an injury report until Wednesday, so we'll get some clarity then. But I think that's better news than I expected out of Rome.
Yeah, and when you read the quote of him just saying he'll help us this year or something like that, or he's in a good spot, Patrick and I were just talking about this before we came on. I mean, that's part of being here and understanding kind of the nuances of how Ben Johnson or other coaches or other players talk is it won't come across just from reading the quote, but if you watch him or hear him say it, Ben Johnson was very, very confident, very clear that Romo Odunze will play again this season.
He offered it. You know, I mean,
he said it forcefully.
Yeah, and it's interesting, as much as you and I talk about the Bears being able to distribute the ball the way they do, what was it, six different players have led them in receiving yards
in a game
this season. That's remarkable. But boy, you know, it helps to have your best guys back, right? Like, as dumb as that sounds, Rome is the guy who, Ben Johnson called him Caleb's blankie, I think.
Boy, Ben didn't do Caleb any favors using that terminology. Romo Odunze is their best wide receiver.
Right.
He is more dangerous in this offense and at this stage than DJ Moore. And DJ Moore does more things, but Rome is more of the downfield threat. He is someone that Ben Johnson has really taken to and focused the offense on. And, you know, last week you have just DJ Moore, basically, followed by Zacchaeus and Jahdae Walker.
And Duvernay
yeah. When needed. I mean, that lineup, I know everyone's excited about Jahdae Walker, and that was amazing what he did against Green Bay. But that lineup looks a lot better with Romo Odunze at the top of it.
It absolutely does. Jason, we'll get out of here in a second. We wanted to get this podcast out for people to have during their drives, during the holidays, but it is a little bit early for us to make 49ers, Bears picks. You can find those online Thursday or in the paper Friday. But just generally, what are you going to look for when we're in Santa Clara on Sunday Night Football?
Well, generally, like I said before, I don't think there is any team I see out there in the league that is just going to kill the Bears or that is going to get killed by the Bears. Right. Or any team of these playoff caliber teams, I should say. They're on equal footing with a lot of them. There is no juggernaut out there that I see. So, if they played the 49ers 10 times at various locations, they'd probably end up splitting those games. I think this week, going on the road in primetime against a San Francisco team that is pretty hot, they're probably not going to win that game. But I don't expect it to be a landslide at all. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game, very close. There won't be any feeling coming out of there that the Bears are in over their heads against a team like that, even on the road.
And if, for all we know, the Bears will be back there 6 weeks later, right?
For the Super Bowl? Okay, yeah.
You're going to go bury a bottle of bourbon in the park and dig it up in 6 weeks, anything like that?
What does that do to it? Does that make it?
No, it just means
you just because I know I'll be back.
It's what people do at Lollapalooza, Jason. They go to Grant Park, they dig a hole, they put booze there.
I didn't know this at all.
They cover it up, and then they come back. And that way, when they're inside the gates of the park, they take it up, and they've got their bottle of Tito's or whatever.
Well, that's a lot of work.
Do you know how expensive drinks are at these festivals?
That's a lot of work for that.
I hope everybody has a happy holiday and that you travel safe. And we will be back on Sunday night to break down what the Bears have done against the 49ers. Until then, you can follow Jason and myself on social media. Check us out the Sun Times website or app. And if you live in town, buy a paper. He's Jason Leisure. I'm Pat Finley. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back again real soon.
My name is Liz, and as a teacher, I think that WBEZ provides endless sources that I can bring back to my students where they can also engage in a deeper understanding. I teach government, I teach U.S. history, and I have used sources from WBEZ in order to help enrich the understanding of my students.